Thank you. It's great to be home. Mary and I arrived home from Australia last night, and just want to give you a great praise report of just an awesome two-week journey where God did great things. And we made a bunch of new friends, 17 meetings in 12 days. But the Lord did wonderful things. He's the same God in Australia as he is in Phoenix. But it sure was nice coming home. We were there long enough to pick up an accent. My wife and I got to hold koala bears and pet kangaroos. And anything else Australian we did? Lobster. We didn't have any lobster. So we'll bring some pictures on Sunday. We'll show you some cool stuff from there. And just very grateful for what God's doing. Hope you enjoyed Pastor Martin from New Zealand was here last Sunday. He's a real gem of God. So one of the cool things happened in one of the first services I had a word of knowledge. And it was a large crowd. I didn't know who it was. That I said, there's a woman here that you're going to hear from your son. You've not heard from in a period of many years. So toward the end of the service, I saw a bunch of commotion. Of course, God's moving. You just never know what's going on. And it was a woman who got a text from a son she hadn't heard from in 6 or 7 years, I think it was. And he said, Mom, I just want to reconnect with you and come back to God. And she was weeping and showing everybody the text. And I just want to say that God's going to do things, and he's going to do them in a process that's faster than what we've seen before, in an accelerated process. So get ready for God to condense things and move them forward in a dramatic way. Amen. Got a good word for you tonight. And 7 steps to becoming exceptional. 7 steps to becoming exceptional. You, my friend, are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece created by the greatest master artist in the universe, God. There's no one like you. There never will be anyone like you. God made you to stand out, not blend in. And so the Bible doesn't tell us not to be great, but it says, here's what greatness looks like through the eyes of God, through the process and principles of his kingdom. Here's how we can become exceptional. Tell your neighbor, you're looking exceptional tonight. Just tell him that. Jesus, the kindest person that ever lived with Jesus. Would you agree with me on that? He was love personified. He was the God-man. Fully God, fully man, Emmanuel, God with us. And the only thing that made Jesus mad was demons and religion. Sometimes they were the same thing. But Jesus is teaching and he's being resisted because he looked differently than the expectation of the religious world. See, often God sends an answer that doesn't look like our request. I'm sorry, God, but I didn't ask for that. Let me help you. Here's what I asked for. He sent something, and Jesus showed up. He preached love instead of vengeance. He preached reconciliation instead of military action. He preached forgiveness. He walked in humility and meekness. Meek and lowly of heart is how he described himself. He went right to where the need was in the poorest or the most hurting part of societies. He just dove into it. He reached the outcasts. He healed lepers. He opened the eyes of people that were blind. He touched people that were untouchable. He reached people that were unreachable. He just was awesome. But he blew the minds of the religious establishment. So what we want to do is make sure that we have not dug such a deep trench of religious expectation or tradition that we can't get out of it and move when God's moving. If God's doing anything in the world, Michael Maiden wants to be a part of it. I don't care who it is or what it looks like. It's okay. Luke 4, I tell you truly, Christ speaking, verse 25, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. When the heaven was shut up for 3.5 years, and there was a great famine throughout the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath. Zarephath now was a Gentile city. In the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. So God wanted to help someone, and he wanted to find someone he could use miraculously to be part of a supernatural supply to Elijah through their life. And because no one was open-minded enough to receive from God, God had to reach outside of the religious community and find a secular person. The second verse says, verse 27, many lepers were in Israel the time of Elijah the prophet, but to none of them was he sent, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So the word except is used twice. That's my idea and theme, exceptional people. So these two folks were exceptional enough that God pursued them, found them. And they got what others did not get because they did what others did not do. So we're going to talk about them. Our main text tonight will be 2 Kings 5. This is the story of Naaman, the man Jesus mentioned, the Syrian general. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man. Everybody say honorable. Okay? He was great and honorable, listen to me, in the eyes of his master. So one thing you have to know about life is the Bible encourages us to not boast about our own life, but let others declare your life in honor and the magnitude of your achievements, whatever it is, great and honorable in the eyes of his master, because through him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. There's the contradiction. I'll come back to that. The Syrians had gone out in raids, and they had brought back a captive girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. So she's a slave, apprehended in one of these raids from Israel, brought to Syria, serving now Naaman's wife as a maid. She waited on him. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." So even though she's in a difficult state in her own personal life, she still lets God use her. Amen. Listen, 1,000 times I've ministered to people with my own heart broken, going through something, and said, "God, if you want to touch someone else," here's what I found out. Whenever God uses me to touch anyone else, I'm always touched too. There's always a reciprocation. There's always a residue in physics. They call it the law of residue. When water, when a liquid goes through a tube, it always will leave some behind whenever God flows through that. So she said, "Man, there's a prophet over in Israel. He could heal your husband." So Naaman went and told his master, the king of Syria, "Thus and thus says the girl is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go, I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed, took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Be advised, this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him from his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man that sends a man to me to heal of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me." So this, the king of Israel at that time, is not walking in a fellowship with God, and he reacts to this letter. But Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. He said to the king, "Cool it, dude. Me and God are going to handle this. Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me. He'll know there's a prophet in Israel." Now Naaman went with his horses and chariots. So here he is. He has his entourage, a king's ransom of wealth, all kinds of things with him. Of course, his protective soldiers, his counselors, he's come. He's a very important man. And he stood in the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious, went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, surely he will come out to me, stand and call upon the name of the Lord, wave his hand over me and throw his coat over me like Benny, and heal me of leprosy. Are there not better waters, the Abanon, the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than these waters in Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned away and went away in a rage. His servants came near and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you something great, something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Father, anoint your servant, I pray, your word. We hold your word as the most precious thing in our life. We open the door of our hearts and say, speak to us tonight, God. Let revelation flow. Bless your people. Bless this moment. Like we sang, your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. 7 points. Number one, exceptional people are people of honor. Naaman was a man who was great and honorable in the eyes of his master, his leader. Honor, the Hebrew word for honor is a great word, is kabal, and it means weight, it means substance. It means to have essence to it. The weight of God, the substance of God, the glory of God, the honor of God is heavy, it's glorious. And so this man had substance to his life. That means he had what? He had character. He was a man who was faithful, a man who was loyal, a man who kept his word. All of those things mean something. If you want to stand out in the world in 2015, be a person of character. Be a person who keeps your word. Be a faithful person. The Bible says it's about faithfulness. Jesus said, he that's faithful in little things will be faithful in big things. Proverbs 28 says, a faithful man will abound in blessings, a faithful woman. So faithfulness, consistency, maturity, perseverance, godliness, the weightiness of the character and nature of God represented in us makes us exceptional. I'd rather be known for a person of character than any other thing. Y'all with me? So, I mean, I prophesied over hundreds of people in Australia. That's what they wanted me to do. It was amazing what God did. But I'd rather be known as a good husband, a good father, a good Christian than a great prophesier, okay? I'd rather be known for having substance in my real life. So that's what makes us exceptional. Number two, the Bible says this, and I love this, that Naaman had these two conflicting realities. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. In the same person, so he had on this magnificent armor. He's dressed as a king. He's possibly an undefeated warrior. The reason why the king likes him so much is this guy keeps winning battles for him. So he's a great, fierce, mighty, courageous warrior. But when he takes off his armor, underneath it, he's a leper. So he has this contradiction in his life. So exceptional people are people that overcome life's contradiction. That's my second point. Everybody has a contradiction. Some people live with that contradiction. Some people give birth to their contradiction. Okay, let me help you. Everybody's got a cross. See, we get so goofy. Take up your cross. What is your cross? Well, the cross is being godly in an ungodly world. The cross is being responsible when no one else in your family is responsible. The cross is being immoral in an immoral. So your cross is the things you have to do that are difficult, but they're right. Everybody's got a cross. So we when we can conquer that inner contradiction, so you have to get this. When you can defeat the contradiction in your mind and heart, you could drive it out of your life. At the end of our story, our hero gets healed. But he got healed, listen to me, he didn't get healed the day leprosy left him. He got healed when he decided leprosy was not going to define him. See, everybody, if you're not careful, this current culture will give you a license to be a lifelong victim and to stay in a rut of self-pity and self-indulgence your whole life. And they'll say, that's okay, you've been through a lot. We understand why you're that way. God understands how we are and why we are, but he invites us to overcome that. Everybody has a contradiction. Now, it's wrong when preachers get up or famous people or people of accomplishment and get up and act like they've not ever had a hard life. Everybody has a hard life. Some people's storms are more difficult than others, but everybody has stuff to overcome. So don't let your contradiction stop you from doing something great in your life. Simultaneously, he was winning battles and treating himself for leprosy. Well, Pastor, if I ever get it together, I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, that's called heaven. No contradictions in heaven. No crosses, no burdens. So down here, in the nasty now and now, not the sweet by and by. Now, in this world, everybody's got something. Come on now, everybody's got something. Crazy people, you know, but you know, family, kids, spouses, history, blah, 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 blah. Don't make me go on and use the word knowledge and tell everybody your contradiction. Everybody's got something, baby. But God made you to overcome it. I love what Hebrews says. Hebrews says this, there's a cloud of witness around us, okay? And the cloud of witness are the heavenly saints, the angelic hosts, all the glory of God. Therefore, we're surrounded by such a magnificent cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. So he's talking about a runner. And the sin that does so easily ensnare us or beset us. So everyone has a blind spot or a vulnerable area where they are more vulnerable than other parts of their life. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Amen. The author and finisher of our faith. He's a finisher who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of Father. Now, verse number 3. For consider him who endured such a contradiction of sinners, that's the King James Version, hostility of sinners, as the New King James, against himself, lest you become discouraged and become wearied in your mind. So everybody just touch your foreheads like this. So this is the battleground. Okay, this is where you win and lose in life. This is where you win and lose. You can go as far forward as how much you conquer from your past. The more you conquer, the more you get healed, released, and overcome your past, the further you can go forward. Christ did not, so Jesus, perfect, never sinned, he loving, every way perfect, he's enduring the constant contradiction of dealing with imperfect, hostile, hateful, jealous people. So he's never known any of that. And so he's enduring it, but he wouldn't let it define him. It wouldn't let him discourage him. So the biggest thing that contradiction does, its most successful attack against you, is to discourage you to the point of quitting. But the devil's a liar. Amen. Say to your neighbor, you're sitting next to an overcomer. Just tell him that. Okay. So I could talk the whole, I love that topic because this is how the Lord brought me out of the pit of despair and depression. When he started showing me. When I was reading about Naaman and reading about the Shunammite woman before him, it was also great. I said this out, and I'm studying my Bible a few years ago, and I said, man, this guy was something. He became great even though he was a leper. And the Lord said to me, I want to tell you something about life. Great people don't become great in spite of things. They become great because of things. See, he didn't become great in spite of his contradiction. He became great because of his contradiction. Y'all with me? See, the thing that's going to make you great is the thing you hate. I wish this thing was out of my life. It's going to make you strong. It's going to make you loving. It's going to teach you patience, forgiveness, perseverance. It's going to teach you something. And if you let it, by the time it can't control you, God takes it away. Point number 3. Exceptional people. Someone say, that's me. Touch your neighbor and say, he's preaching about me tonight. Exceptional people are humble and open enough to hear God's voice no matter who it comes from. So here is the second most important guy in a nation, Mr. Big Pants. This guy's This guy's important. In fact, to the king, he's irreplaceable. So there's a slave girl, maybe a 14-year-old little girl. She's taking care. She's doing the hair for his wife. She's running errands, getting water, helping her bathe, helping her dress, doing all these menial tasks. She's a slave. And the little slave girl, she lets God use her even when she's hurting. And she says, she starts bonding with them. And she says to the mother, "Oh, I feel so bad for your husband. If only he could make it to Samaria. We have a prophet that heals lepers." And the woman shared it with her husband. And the husband shared it with the king. And the king said, "This miracle started with a slave. You're almost with me. One person can start a chain of events that brings about one person talking about Jesus, the healer. Jesus, the healer of broken hearts, the deliverer, the helper. One person sharing their testimony. One person doing. No matter where you are in life, don't miss a season where God could use you just because it's something that you wish would go away. If I waited to the perfect moment for God to use me, I would have waited too long." Joseph interpreted the butler and baker's dreams in prison. When you can use your gift when you're still hurting, your gift will take you into your destiny. So what does it take? So here's a couple of points. There is often in the process of your life, in the journey of your life, there is often moments when the answer you need is going to challenge your depth of desperation and hunger for God. Are you open enough to receive from a slave girl? You with me? My favorite thing is when men don't believe in women preachers and God will send a woman preacher with their answer. "I don't really believe in you." That stumbling block. So desperation, people that are desperate for God don't care who God sends the mail with. You with me? My wife is so cute today. So we have 2 weeks of mail that were coming. They held our mail around town. And so she was waiting so impatiently. "Why, I can't wait for the mail. I can't wait for the mail." Finally it came. It was a new mail. She said, "I didn't recognize that guy. The new guy has dreadlocks. But we don't care. The old guy was bald. Now we got a new, you know, African-American with dreadlock. Who cares who brings you the mail?" So don't miss your miracle because you object with the method or messenger God sent it by. Okay? Point number four. So Naaman, he listened to what God was saying to him through the girl. Exceptional people, point number four, recognize, respect, and submit to authority. You have to get this. Because God does not want people that are completely and universally independent. Independent people in that description are useless in the kingdom. God wants interdependent people. So Naaman, even though he was the baddest guy on the planet, undefeated warrior, he was a respectful and honorable follower of his leader. Here's how cool it is. Naaman wants to honor God after God heals him. And he says to the prophet, "You know, my king worships all these other gods." But he said, "If it's all right with you, when I'm standing next to him and he's worshiping his God, I want to worship the only true God." Yeah. His whole life he was respectful and honorable. So Jesus is ministering, is traveling. He's met by a group of people that brought to him a centurion, a Roman soldier who led 100 soldiers. So the centurion says, "Well, I have a servant who's sick at home." And Jesus says, "Okay, let's go. I'll come and heal him." And the Syrian said, no, you don't have to come to my house. Here's what he said. I'm a man under authority, Matthew 8, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. One, come, and he comes. One, do this, and he does this. And Jesus marveled, saying, I have not seen faith like this in Israel. The man understood the kingdom because he understood authority. Y'all with me? So for example, if I'm dealing with, let's say God wants me to do something with a politician. And let's say that politician is not someone I would have personally voted for. Maybe their beliefs are different than mine, whatever. You know what God wants me to be? Honoring and respectful. You with me? Well, I can't, you know. The Bible invites women to treat your husbands respectfully. Well, you don't know my husband. He doesn't deserve my respect. I know. But if you keep giving it to him, it'll change him. You'll fill his tank, and he'll love you. Okay. So understanding how authority works and our relationship to it. So you have to get this. Naaman couldn't get what he wanted without going through authority. Did you get that? Well, I'm just going to believe, just me and God. Well, that's how it works, except God has a body, God has an order, God has a government, God has authority. God has authority. Okay, he was respectful, submitted to authority. Okay, fifth point. We read it when Naaman, he comes with, was it 10,000 talents of gold? It is a massive amount of money. He's got silk. So by nature, exceptional people are generous. Real generosity in this world is always the exception to the rule. You with me? Churches over there wanted me to come to Australia. You know, we'd had kind of a supernatural moment in Las Vegas with ministering over a couple of them. They invited me. And while we're talking, I said, man, you know, someday I'm going to bring my wife with me. That's all I said. Next thing I know, they sent me a ticket for Mary to come. Y'all with me? That's what you call being more than a conqueror. When your husband goes to work for 14 days and you get to come, and actually I'm her full-time job. So the whole time I'm prophesying, she's praying in tongues for me, and she's slapping me awake every morning. Get up and pray, man of God. So, you know, we all know the Holy Spirit. I call her the Holy Mary, okay? She's my divine presence. Generous, exceptional people are generous people. Think about God. How many of you love the attribute of generosity when it comes to God? He can't help himself. He didn't make one star. He made a number with 23 zeros behind it. That's how many stars we press. The oceans, the plants, the animals, the bird, the fish, the mountains, the seas, the rivers, the streams. He's unbelievable. He does everything in this extravagantly luxurious, abundant, and generous way. Queen Esther is going to be transported from the orphanage to the palace. And King Ahasuerus is looking for a wife. He throws a party. So here's the four things he did. He made golden cups. Talking, you know, type of divine nature when we're born again. Each cup, thousands of these golden vessels, each one was different. They were one of a kind works of art. The law of distinction is this. You have something that no one else can do and be in this world. There'll never be another like you. Someone can do the things that you might do, but no one could do it the way you would do it. And then he had royal wine in abundance. So he had, you know, just millions of gallons, whatever it was, of royal wine, the best wine in the world. So he's got this wine. He has abundance. But have you ever known someone who was rich and cheap? Well, sometimes that's how rich people get rich. But he's... Or stingy. So King Ahasuerus has abundance, and then he said this: let every person have as much as they want. He was not just wildly wealthy, he was completely generous. And the law of generosity is this: God will give you as much of him as you want. And listen to me, and God will give others as much of him through you as you let. Dr. McCrae is the first one I heard say this scripture. Proverbs 11 in the Message Bible, verse 24 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Smaller and smaller. So God, keep blessing me so I can be generous. Let your dreams, listen, don't dream about getting. Dream about giving. I just started the church, and a local pastor had heard me on the radio or something, and just a good-hearted guy, but he's going to sit me down and correct me. He says, Michael, now everybody, listen, it's okay to tell people God wants to help them, but you have to be careful when you talk about God blessing them or making them prosperous, because, you know, and then he said something to me, you know, all I want is enough for me and my family. It sounded so good, I was like, oh, wow, what do I say? And so right there at that little restaurant in Scottsdale, the Holy Ghost came upon me. Here's what I said. Well, I, of course, want stuff for my family too. But I want enough money to build 1,000 orphanage. I want enough money to build 100,000 churches. And if God gave me $1 billion, I could spend it in 6 months, because I don't want my only request to God to be for what I need. So the more generous we become, the more attached to God's giving nature, the more it releases resources. Okay, point number 6. Exceptional people are teachable and correctable. Okay, if you're teachable, your destiny is reachable. Exceptional people are teachable. You have to get this. It is human nature to kind of settle into things that we believe. But here's the thing about theology. My theology is different at 57 than it was at 37. It couldn't be different unless I said to God, I want to know you in a better way. So anything that's immature, undeveloped, or incomplete, just lead me to know you more. Amen. So Naaman comes to the door, knocks on the door, and Elijah doesn't even come. Sends the help. And the help says, here's what the prophet said, go wash 7 times in the river. And Naaman, he's offended. He's offended. And the Bible says he turned away in a rage. And he starts venting on his guys. I can't believe that. We got better rivers in Damascus and Syria. I thought he would come out and say a magical prayer and wave his hand over me. But he's sitting there on the couch watching ESPN and sends out his flunky. This isn't fair. So they said to him, well, we understand why you're upset, because you had an expectation. But if he had said to you, do something really difficult, would you have done it? Yes. Well, just because he said to do something really simple, don't miss God in the simple, because you are used to the complicated. Have you ever had God tell you something that was so simple? No way. It can't be that simple. I missed that. Well, I'm constructing the Mona Lisa and it's a cartoon. Well, I missed that. So the measure of our teachability will also be the measure of our advance in the kingdom. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. They get everything Papa's going to feed. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. Y'all with me? So the Bible invites us to say to God, is there anything in this moment I'm missing that you'd like to teach me? I don't know about you, I still don't like correction. My wife is such a gentle instrument of God's reproof to me sometimes that the way she says things to me, it doesn't come across as a correction until 2 days later when I realize, well, man, she was really letting me have it in her sweet and sneaky way. Just said, have you ever thought about this? And the mind of a woman. So let's say to God, I want to know everything you want to teach. Can I have an amen? About life, family, business, ministry, I want to know. Okay, last point. He comes to the door, gets the word. He finally says, okay, I'll do it. He walks down to the river, takes off his armor, his dress clothes, goes in his linen garments, and he goes into the muddy Jordan. It was muddy then. It's still muddy now, the Jordan River. Exceptional people follow through with the things God tells them to do. Now, this is a big one. I have a desk in my office that I used to have full. I threw them away. That used to be full with promise notes or checks people wrote and told me to hold. For $1 million, $3 million, $300,000. Pastor, what happened to those people? I don't know. They left before they could fulfill their promise. See, the thing about follow-through is this. There is always a gap between God fulfilling the promise of his kingdom in our life and our journey beginning. To pursue that promise, there's a season when we just got to keep doing something when nothing's happening. What if the thing you've been praying about for 6 years, what if it's only 6 days away? And you're about to give up on it, stop praying and believing for it. You're about to turn your back when it's about to show up. Don't quit on anything God's told you to do. Don't give up on anything God told you he would give you. Exceptional people follow through. He dips one time, comes up. His eyes filled with dust, he's muddy, nothing's happened. He dips a second time, comes up, nothing's happening. He dips a third time, comes up, nothing's happened. Fourth time, nothing, fifth time. Now, the time I like the most is the gap between 6 and 7. He dips the sixth time. He's almost done everything God said to do. Listen to me. And not one thing's happened. So can you imagine what his mind is saying? I'm going to kill that bald little prophet. I'm going to kick his rump from here to Damascus. I can't believe this. I'm the most important man in my nation. There's my servants up there looking at me, trying not to laugh. Yeah, keep ticking. Sure, it's going to work. All that prophecy stuff, yeah. Look at him. He thinks that prophecy. So Job says this. God will deliver you in 6, yea, 7 troubles. I like the gap. So the Lord says, don't quit on the thing you've been doing and praying and believing. Because the moment you feel the most wearied and exhausted by the process is the moment you're closest to its fulfillment. One more time. Naaman goes down 7 times. 7 means completion. Comes up, and the Bible says this. He had the skin of a baby. He had the skin of a baby. No one's laughing then. There's no anger left in him. There's no frustration. There's no discontentment. He says, you are the true God. You are the true and living God. You're almost there. Something you've been believing, pressing, standing, praying, declaring. Something God promised you that he would. You're almost there. Exceptional people stay the course long enough for God to show up. See, that's my story. Pastor, what did you do? I was behind in the ball game. The score was 100-2. And the other team was winning. Well, Pastor, how did you turn around? How did you win? I just stayed in the game and had a great fourth quarter comeback. God showed up. If you follow through. So everybody say, I am exceptional. Because I don't quit. Come on, just lift your hands to heaven, would you, with me? Lord, we love you, praise you, worship you. Thank you for, you are the exceptional God. Everything about you. And God, I thank you for the honor. I'm humbled to serve such an exceptional church. Ah, oh, what grand people these are. Overcoming so much, so many great stories. Testimony after testimony of what they've overcome. The contradictions they've battled through. Generous of nature, kind, loyal, persevering. Thank you, God, for the exceptional traits I see all the time in this awesome church. And Lord, we thank you that you're about to do something. Here's what I feel in my spirit. You're on the verge, the Lord said. You're on the verge of a transition and a change, a dramatic shift. And the enemy has put weight on your soul, and he's put darkness into your mind. He's tried to cloud you about the things I promised you. But know this, my child, I will finish what I've begun in you. And my promise is not just over you and a few, but it's to this generation. You are a prophetic generation with a great inheritance in me. And I want you to stand in joy, stand in faith, and stand in the perseverance of nature until you see the full reward of my glory and promise visited upon you and this generation. If you will believe me, I promise you, you will see my glory. If you will not quit or faint, you will reap the inheritance of my promise in your world. This is your time. This is your time to advance quickly, supernaturally, suddenly. This is your time to see a turnaround and a breaking forth. I'm loosening for you from the anchor of things that have held you down, and I'm breaking you into a new horizon. I'm loosening you into a new significance, a new season of opportunity, into a new day of strength, healing, and restoration. This is your time. This is your time, says the Lord. Come on, would you stand to your feet with me? Let's just love on him and let his Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you and appreciate you. Ah, God, thank you for the grace you show us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for anyone. I pray for everyone here tonight with any physical infirmity. And I speak healing over their life now in the mighty name of Jesus. Heal them. Thank you, God, for those that have been carrying weights of mind or heart. Thank you for lifting those weights, lifting those burdens. Thank you, God, that miracles are about to happen in the realm of people's lives, in their family, in their world, their school, their job, their vocation. God, you're invading with your kingdom. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Come on, just love on the Lord with me. Well, we will worship you, Lord. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good friend.
It's who you are. It's who you are.
It's who you are, God.
It's who you are.
And I'm loved. I am. It's who I am.
It's who
come
I
on, come on. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And
I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Come on, come on. Say to me this unusual thing. He said, tell my church tonight that I'm releasing a blessing on their future by healing the disappointment and pain of the past. And here's what he told me. He said, just tell them I want to bless them like a father blesses us, a son or a daughter. And the Lord told me this. Here's what's going to happen. There are people here tonight that never had your natural father bless you. Never happened. And the Lord told me to speak a blessing over you. There are people here tonight that had your natural or your stepfather or whoever raised you curse you, judge you, accuse you, disown you, abandon you. And God's going to heal you tonight. There are people here tonight that have been so hurt and so bound by hurt that you've been fighting hopelessness or discouragement or depression, and tonight God's going to lift that off of you. If you're in any of those three things, I want you to come to the altar. I'm going to pray over you. God's going to do something in you tonight. This is a night of breakthrough for your life, I promise you. Come on, let's worship the Lord. You're a good, good Father.
To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved.
Someone up, you were, as a child, you were hiding underneath the bed because your father was an alcoholic, and he was so violent that you literally had to hide from him. I want to begin by praying for that person. Wave your hand if that's you. Okay, thank you, Lord. Yeah, okay, both of you come up here. Lord, I declare over these, yeah, thank you, honey. These precious women, that you're doing a miracle tonight in their life. You're freeing them and healing them. And God, not only are you taking out trauma, memory, the lack of what should have been given, but you're doing the opposite. You're pouring in love. So I bless you in the name of God. And I loosen upon your life freedom from every scar, every residue of the past. You've come so far, the Lord's very proud of you. He's very proud of how much you've overcome. He's proud of how kind you've been to other people, how generous in nature, how loving you've been. You've given what you never received. You poured into others what was never poured into you. But God says, you've overcome. You've overcome. A miracle is going to happen in this summer, in this year. Two great things are going to happen in your life because you've overcome. Thank you, God, for your healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep praying, everybody. I heard the Lord say, never again. Never again. A tormenting oppression. It happened three times. It wasn't just your father, but two other men. But I'm taking it out of you. I've rebuked the enemy. And the Lord said, I've driven from your heart the memory of the horror of your past. And I'm loosening your life to joy. I'm going to give you, for every moment of sadness, 2 moments of joy. I'm going to flood your life with the heavenly joy you've never known before. I heard the Lord say, thank you for overcoming. Thank you for not giving up. There was such a desperate pain in you. The enemy thought for sure he had you, either by suicide or by self-destructive things. But you are God's treasure. You are God's trophy of grace. And he's so proud of you for overcoming. Thank you, God, for healing my sister. Blessing her in Jesus' name. Everyone, raise your hands to heaven, please. Thank you, God, for doing a great work, a healing work, a miracle work in Jesus' name. I make everything new. I'm making you new, the Lord says. I'm taking out of your life the lie of the enemy that says things will never be the same or never be as good. Things will be different but better. I'm going to make your future better than your past. I'm going to make your tomorrow better than your yesterday. I'm shifting your seasons. And I'm removing the lie of the enemy. I'm going to give you a legal victory, a financial victory, and a relational victory. And you'll know that I'm with you, says the Lord. Thank you, God, for your hand upon my sisters and brothers. Come on, keep praising the Lord, everybody. Father, I release a blessing over these men and women. Father, thank you, Jesus. I'm blessing you like a father would bless his son. I'm giving you what was kept from you. And the battle that you faced was about a fight that someone else wouldn't fight. But son, I've called you to overcome. And I'm writing a new chapter, the next chapter, and it's the best chapter. And this is the chapter when you're unchained, unshackled. And everything that had a place in you, I've rebuked. Every closet, every nook and cranny. I loosen 3 doors to open. They open because your heart is open. And all God says is keep your heart open with me and I'll open doors with men. That's how it's going to work. Keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. Thank you, God, for your hand upon your brothers and sisters. I'm doing it, says the Lord. You haven't seen anything yet. You're going to see this thing radically change. You're going to see this thing radically turn around. You stood in a time of uncertainty, but watch what I'm about to do, said the Lord. All of us, great faith. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your follow through. God says, because you didn't quit, because you didn't give up, you're going to see the miracle season of harvest to your family. It's already been loosed. It's already on the way. God, I bless this woman now in Jesus' name. Thank you for your hand upon her life. Thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Declare, God, I'm healing it. I'm healing you and I'm healing them. The Lord says, because you didn't give up, both from disease and from heartbreak, God, I'm healing you and I'm healing them. Miracle woman. Maha, seek a miracle girl, miracle faith, miracle vision, miracle life. Father, I bless these men and women now. I declare a father's blessing over them. I declare, God, they're going to do things they've never done, go places they've never been. God, I declare that they're history makers and world shakers. God, I declare that you open the heavens and give them visions and dreams. God, that you open their eyes to see the unseen. God, I declare that every... Come here, forward here. Yeah. So this is funny. I'm in Australia. I'm praying for a teenage girl. And that's what I said to her. Which I never say. I said, what's your name, honey? So she says to me, honey. Yeah. I couldn't think for like 5 minutes. I started giggling. I said, your name's honey? I'd never heard anybody. So it was fun. It was a little cute, fun thing. I heard the Lord say, listen to me. Everyone here that this relates to, I want you to get it. I'm taking shame off of you. Taking it like an old coat that's worn out. I'm taking it off of you. I'm stripping it off your soul. I won't let shame punish you for what life did to you. And I won't let the devil keep replaying the memory of what you've lost. That's not who you are. That's just where you were. And the Lord said, I'm clothing you. I'm clothing you with the spirit of honor, a new heart, of honor and love. And you're going to laugh until your belly hurts for what God's doing in your life. For he is turning your mourning into laughter and joy. Yeah, yeah. I know you've been through the things over. You've been through it. But now God's taking you out of it. He's taking it out of you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, keep worshiping God, everybody. Come on. I've anointed you to see in others what they can't see in themselves. Because I taught you how to overcome. You are a prize to me, my daughter. You're a trophy to me. I brought you out of a place of uncertainty and chaos, and I showed you who you were to me. Every battle I give you, you accept with joy. You don't retreat. You're fearless. I love how I've made you, the Lord says. And I'm going to let you love how I made you too. This is your time to celebrate your life for who you really are. You've helped so many, and you're going to help so many more. Man, I saw it was this huge auditorium filled with kids. You're going to help so many kids in your lifetime. They're going to say, she was like a mother to me. She was like a sister to me. She was a counselor. She saved me. God's going to give you so many people that you're going to change their lives. Oh, thank you, God. Hey, join hands together, everybody. Up here and out here, just everybody grab hands together. The Holy Spirit's very powerful right now. So let's just unleash everything he wants to do. There's someone here with almost a crippling bone disease. I don't think it's arthritis, it's something else. God's healing someone's bone structure. But whatever you need, whatever you are believing for, just open your heart. Ask God to just zap the person next to you. God, your kingdom come. Give them what they need the most. Heal them where they hurt the most. Strengthen them. Help them. Encourage them. Love on them. It's who you are. It's who you are.
It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Thank you. Come on, keep praying. Keep praying. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank
you, God. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Come on, let's all lift our hands to heaven right now. Love on him a little bit more. You're a good, good Father.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are. It's who you are.
I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Listen. There are at least 5 people here with entrepreneurial dreams that have been either held back by insecurities or by other things. God's green lighting people tonight to go for things that are in your heart to do. And you're gonna find this confidence come to you that you've not had. And it's gonna help you step into a different arena of opportunity. Ah, it's gonna be awesome, amen. Hey, tell someone next to you, Jesus really loves them. Give them a hug. Everybody loves someone. Tell them Jesus loves them.